Welcome, Tale Tellers. And good news, everyone! SoundCloud has been saved by a $170 million deal to ensure that SoundCloud hangs around. So that's great, which translates to more stories. Speaking of stories, today's episode is an original one at that. Yes, that's right, more fantastic author originals just for you. The title of this story is Michi's Journey by Kyle Brandt. Yep, he's the author that brought you the previous yokai story that I narrated on this podcast, and boy, does Kyle deliver on his promise of great stories. So creepy tale tellers, turn the lights off. Let's put the sound up and get ready for an original. I know this is an odd way to tell a story, but it is a story I must tell in order for this world to make sense. A little background information. I'm not Asian, but I've always found their culture interesting. Since taking one of those DNA tests that tell you how much of each race your DNA resembles, I came back with less than 10% Asian. Nonetheless, I still volunteer to help with research over in Japan. It was on my most recent trip that things got bizarre. I was contacted to ask for my help in collecting and archiving an abandoned temple deep into the mountains. Without thinking, I blurted out my yes and began packing. 2 days later, I was on my plane to Japan. The temple was discovered in the Kita Alps in northern Japan. It was actually well preserved, thanks to the entrance being blocked by a giant boulder. My co-workers and I arrived at the site a couple of days after takeoff from Hawaii, and found that the boulder was still in place to try and help preserve the documents. The lead walked over to a fallen tree and felt around the exterior till he found a branch. He pulled it like a lever. This triggered something that moved the boulder out of the way. The team turned on their headlamps as we entered the cave. We walked for about 10 minutes before the lights hit the temple. This was a very rare find, a temple that was probably dated back to the 11th or 12th century. It was standing one story tall with the ceramic shingles still intact. The wood had minimal decay due to the seal the boulder created. I looked around for a bit, marveling at the building. It was about 300 yards by 300 yards, I estimated. Inside was plenty of statues, and the document room itself was at least 50 yards by 50 yards. It was beautiful, and held so many scrolls and books that it was going to take forever to catalogue. But I felt like I was being watched by not one, but hundreds of eyes. But I just brushed this feeling off as paranoia. Then, a new sensation took over. It was like I was being pulled towards a small section of the room where a charm-sealed chest rested. I looked over the charms, and I noticed them as sealing or concealing charms. I ignored the flimsy paper and opened it anyway. A sense of dread as well as safety came over me. I peered into the box to see a large manuscript bound and tied with leather. Only a name resided on the front page, and after some studying, I can tell you it said, Tyra Michi. I don't know why, but the sense of having to take it and read it was overwhelming. I had the manuscript among my personal gear while helping pack up as much of the other scrolls as I could. That night, back at the inn, after my bath, I sat down with the book, and this was the beginning. As I sat down unbinding the manuscript, I was suddenly transported to only what I could conclude was the era the book was written. And I was seeing it through the eyes of the writer, but I wasn't able to move my host. More like I was a spectator, and this is what I saw. Tyra Michi was an Onmyoji, a spiritual fighting monk or exorcist in ancient time. He belonged to the family Tyra and was the second son. He had a brother, Daisuke, who was a genius, swordsman and well-rounded fighter and political leader. Michi was an excellent martial artist, a decent swordsman, as well as spiritually attuned. At age 4, he was sent to the temple to begin training as a monk, and was trained to be an Omnyorji. His skills quickly developed, and by age 8, he was considered in the top 10 in his temple and practice. He had yet to do his first yokai hunt. Michi's first actual fight with yokai happened at age 10. The village at the base of the mountain had a young girl kidnapped by something. Michi knew that the area was infested with Sarugami, a yokai known for taking a female villager as a sacrifice. Michi also knew all the warriors that would normally hunt this down were indisposed of taking care of war matters, so it came down to the monks to protect the people. Michi bowed to the gentleman and accepted his task, as he was their best physical fighter. Michi packed a couple of rice bowls for his journey and filled up a hollowed-out bamboo shoot to carry his water in and began the investigation. He was led to the site of a kidnapping where there was monkey-like footprints in the mud that disappeared at the tree line. Michi picked up a tuft of monkey hair left on the ground and did a small mantra before the hair started floating and began to follow the path the yokai took. Michi followed the hair till they dropped. That's when he noticed it. Above him, the kidnapped girl hung off a tree by her intestines, agony. Frozen on her face, one of her legs was ripped off from the hip. Before Michi could pray that the girl's spirit could find peace in the afterlife, a sickening crunch resounded through the forest. The sound came from every direction and none. Michi heard something new. It was a wet, loud thud behind him, like someone dropped a sack of rice. Michi wasn't ready for this gruesomeness yet. It made him sick to his stomach, but he knew he would have to turn around. When he did, it was the girl's missing leg. From the knee up was just a bone. The muscle had been torn clean off, as if something had ate it. Michi threw up upon seeing the teeth marks in the bone. As he heaved, a thunderous voice from the trees rang out with laughter.
They sent a child who can't even get past a little gore.
Michi turned his head towards the sound and could see the silhouette of someone in monk's robes in the trees. The silhouette dropped down from its perch and landed with a thud next to the severed leg. The figure was roughly the same height as Michi, but its whole body was that of a monkey's, but was wearing monk's robes. Michi knew he was 100 times more deadlier. The creature's mouth was stained with red, what Michi could only assume was the blood from his victim. The yokai picked up the severed leg and took a bite out of it, as if it was the leg of a rabbit. As Michi processed the horror he was experiencing firsthand, the yokai made the first move. Without missing a beat, he grabbed the exposed femur and swung it at Michi's head. Just like that, a switch was flipped inside Michi. He forgot his sickness and leaned back from the attack, making the leg pass right before his eyes. Michi countered with a step forward and a straight right punch hitting the beast in the solar plexus, with a hit that betrayed his size. The beast was knocked off its feet and slid about 2 feet back on the ground. Michi took his stance and began chanting as his hand instinctively extended both his index and middle fingers, while curling the other ones toward one another. His body was emitting a faint, white light as he chanted. He released his fingers as he finished the chant. The beast was on him again this time. It hit him with a straight punch that felt like he was hit with a mochi hammer. The light that once enveloped Michi was dispelled as it hit the ground. Michi knew that practice and practical were two different things, but this was just insane. Michi stood up as the Sarugami taunted him.
Poor little monk, can't hold on to your spell.
It laughed as it began charging again. Michi acted faster than the yokai. Heh! He shouted as a 5-foot wall of light shot up between the two combatants, but the yokai jumped over this obstacle with ease as it did a front flip, bringing a foot down onto Michi's left shoulder, and a deafening crack came from the bone. Michi screamed in pain as he stumbled backwards away from the beast.
Never send a child after a god.
The yokai growled as it performed the spinning back kick into the abdomen of Michi, launching him into a nearby tree where he was impaled on a small branch. Michi looked down at the wound, the small branch sticking out from his abdomen. It was slightly to the left of his belly button. Michi knew he had to end this fast, so he decided to try something different. The monkey jumped, placing its feet on a tree, and kicked off wanting to finish this fight and get a better meal. The yokai rocketed at an inhuman speed. Michi uttered, "Kek, kek, kek." This time, instead of a wall, the light formed a long rod that one end was inside the tree trunk and extended out 3 feet from the tree, right in the path of the yokai's head. In less than a second after summoning the rod, the yokai impaled itself through the eye and hung on the rod. Michi coughed up blood when he tried to laugh a little.
"Looks like we're two of a kind."
This enraged the yokai even more. It began screaming like an enraged monkey with words in between,
"You're just a human. You can't defeat a god."
Michi was tired of this song and dance, and possibly tired from the blood loss. This time, a box appeared around the beast, trapping it. Michi raised his good arm and dropped it behind himself on the branch, breaking it and setting himself free. With the same hand, he made the same gesture as before with his fingers, and with the first stroke of his fingers, he said,
"Rin, rin,"
making a horizontal slash, then announcing, "Pyo." His fingers made a vertical slash this time, and then alternated with each syllable following Ta, Sha, Kai, Jin, Retsu, Zai, Zen. Upon completion, the yokai was banished, and the barriers that Michi had erected dissolved. With the completion of his task, I was whisked back to my body. Upon my return, I noticed something off about my room. It was cast in a faint blue light. I turned toward the source, slowly dreading and fearing what I was going to see. What I saw was a woman with long black hair, with black horns protruding, blue skin, sharp blackened teeth, long blackened claws, solid black eyes, and wearing a blue kimono. I jumped away from the figure as it approached me. Part 1 of Michi's journey concludes. My goodness, what a fantastic story. Carl Brandt really has a way of building the world around the reader. It's something that not a lot of authors spend time on, and it's interesting as a technique at helping your audience / readers become further immersed into your world. If you're wondering what the heck our protagonist encountered, was it a yokai? Was it a person? A creature from another world? All of the above? Well, stay tuned for our next episode where we explore the story that is Michi's journey. Now, to support this channel, all I'd love for you to do is share this podcast around. And if you get a chance, leave an iTunes review. Those two things help this channel grow. And honestly, people are doing this, so I'm ever grateful. I can see in the channel's growth, and nothing makes me happier right now than sharing more of these stories with more people. It's a free channel and always will be. And the stories on here are by all sorts of creative artists at different levels of experience. And it's people like you that are listening that help everyone and this channel grow. So thank you so much. You're just great. Okay, Telltellers, it's that time. This is the place where stories live, and you Telltellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And, as always, till next time.